ITL Fantasy Podcast Network presents In a World of Football Podcasts That Sounds Like This.
Welcome into our podcast on Suck Talk Radio.
And talk like this.
Wah, 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 wah. Don't draft the running back, wah, wah.
Because they're not.
So much fun!
Bogman, let's not overreact here.
The In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Featuring Bogman.
He's f***ing terrible. I don't understand.
Who cares?
This is some psychopath.
Daisy got hit in last night.
Hey.
And the Welsh.
Christ, I don't have an answer for this, Bogman. I think I'm going to go.
Pick one.
Spit it out.
Burn it to the ground.
Playing on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn. Coming to your ears.
Welcome in, friendos. It is the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It's In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. That's Bogman over there at Bogman Sports. I am Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. And today, we have got the long-haired IDP and fantasy football guru, Gary Davenport. Gary Davenport is still rocking that. We haven't done the interview yet. Is he still rocking that, like, it's not a mullet, is it? It's like a, it's a party.
It's a lot of hair. I've seen
there is so much hair on this podcast today, except
for
me.
Oh my god, dude. Well, yeah, let me show you my the enormity of my hair right now. I look like Cousin It. I'm gonna turn my camera on, but I have it pulled back. Let me just show you this. Oh, I can barely get the tie out.
It's so much hair. It's unbelievable how much hair that is. You do. You look like Cousin It. Now turn your camera off before the file
size
gets too big here. Yeah, you look like Cousin It.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah,
it's a lot of hair.
And there's going to be a lot of hair in this episode. I'm going to feel like Pisa P on every podcast, or I'm just the bald guy. That's essentially where we're at here. Gary Davenport is going to be on the pod. And Bogman and him, I don't think I've ever done a podcast with Gary Davenport. And you've been doing one for like 80 episodes or something like that. You guys have been doing the IDP podcast for a long time, and you can catch and hear Gary all over the place. And we won't be talking about IDPs, though. I swear to God, I know you two are going to slip something in. It's a guarantee.
Probably something IDP for sure. But I mean, you know, Gary doesn't just do IDPs. He's been FSWA Writer of the Year twice. So. And he writes for a million different sites. So we'll definitely probably get some IDP in here.
Yeah.
But we did that yesterday.
Send him that show sheet. He'd be like, wait a minute. Where's all the defensive talk here? What are you guys doing?
What is this? We're going to talk about offensive players. We occasionally will talk about offensive players on the IDP show. But usually it's when we get in an argument about the Steelers and the Browns. So
it's going to be a great episode. I'm sure this is going to be. There's
no
not going to be buttons
stir the pot. That's not something you do at all.
No, ever. I mean, if I can find it, I will attempt to do so, because that is what I do. Right here on the ITL In This League Fantasy Football, the ITL In This League. I don't think I've ever done that. Back to back, like you didn't know what that
was. Your brain
was.
Working all right today?
Not really.
Do you have the COVID? The numbers are spiking everywhere.
I got the dumbsies in my head.
Oh, okay, I get it. So you must be a Jets player then. So
how is Adam? By the way, I didn't mean to start the podcast with this. How does Adam Gase still have a job?
I don't know.
There was a joke about who will be out of their seat first that I'm not going to get into. But like, how is that guy? What does that guy have on the Jets ownership? What does he have? What is he doing? How is he googly eyeing around keeping his job? I've never seen anything like it. It's the worst team in the NFL. Might be one of the worst teams I've ever seen. And I think, Bogman, you could probably put a top three on that. We've been watching football for like 30 something years, and it's one of
the worst team I've ever seen.
It's one of the worst teams, worst coached. It's hilarious how as soon as a player can get off that team, they start to pick up. It's like clockwork. Adam Gase is one of our generation's worst coaches ever. And that guy has outlasted multiple other coaches in the NFL. It is next level insane. There is going to be a Netflix series on how he was able to con his way through this job. He's got something on somebody. Someone's terrified to face the music if they have to cut him. I don't know what it is. It needs to stop.
Well, the thing is they don't have a J.J. Watt. Like, the only reason Bill O'Brien got fired was because he got in a fight.
They also don't have a win, though.
Yeah, well, that but they don't, like, he can fight with any player, and they're not going to fire him. I don't know, man. Ownership must love him. They did show the Jets owner on Monday Night Football a couple times. I hope you didn't watch. The game actually wound up being good because it was close, even though it was sloppy, ugly football. You know, obviously, the Patriots win and all that stuff, but they showed the Jets owner a couple times in his booth, and he was definitely asleep both times they showed him.
That
was pretty fun.
I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand how it's going on, but you know what? It's awesome. Anybody that had the over on 5 games that Adam Gase would coach as the Jets, you're cashing that check.
So let me ask you this. If whoever the coach is next year, assuming Gase gets fired,
I don't think that's a guarantee. Yet, so, this is not a guarantee at this point.
But assuming Gase gets fired, if they win 5 games next year, that person has to be coach of the year, right?
No, not 5, but, like, you know, if they can get them close to a 500 record, yeah, I think so.
7-9, coach of the year, right?
Absolutely, coach of the year. Okay. Anybody. Tony La Russa, you put him drinking all the way to the he could coach to a better.
How strict are the DUI laws in New Jersey?
I think it's pretty strict, yeah. And he doesn't seem to be an Uber guy, so our technology. I don't know what the deal is. It was just something you and I were like bouncing around before the podcast. It's just like, how's this? Because it's also like a, I don't know. We've kind of like annoyingly been like, it's a weird week. Every week is weird, but there's something about week 10 that just feels off to me. I don't know what I can't put my finger on it. It's something
double digits. They get into you.
I think, yeah, double digits. I think that it's my new favorite word, the digits. I think maybe it's the double digi scares. Maybe it's that football's getting close to ending. The waivers are so bleak. You're kind of out of trades. There's no more trades to be had.
The waiver wire is more bleak than that show that you watch with Elizabeth Moss. What is that one called?
Oh, A Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, yeah. It's the waiver wire is more bleak than that. So.
I keep trying to get you to watch that. You won't watch it.
I ain't watching
it. I think it's right up your alley. I think the premise of the show.
Whatever. Give me a break.
I think that's right on the Bachman show. But like, shut up. I don't know. I think it's like there's nothing in the waiver wire. No trades. I don't know. Like you kind of also got into a space where most of ideally what you're putting out in your roster. He's also got bye week stuff that's annoying, but like a lot of the questions have kind of answered themselves. Like, well, what's the big thing that, you know, the touts are trying to lock into? Like, well, let's talk about Ryan Noel. Like that's what we're doing. It's Ryan Noel season, and that's not great. So I'm not saying it's sucky or it's boring or anything like that, but it's,
or there's just some situations that we realize are not going to be answered. Like, you know, Colts running backs.
Yeah,
like,
Jonathan, perfect example, Boggs. The Jonathan Taylor situation, it's annoying. You know, we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson in this episode. It's annoying because, you know, in my eyes, you're not going to talk yourself out of playing Lamar Jackson in any capacity outside of DFS this week. So what do you really do? We can sit here and kind of be like, yeah, this kind of blows and this kind of sucks. But what are the like logical replacements that people are going to have out there? Maybe there's a Justin Herbert, and I think we've talked about that at this point on matchups you can play Herbert over Lamar Jackson, but for the most part you're playing it. So that's why I'm saying it's the double digi scares. I think week 10 has a weird air about it, and I think I'm a little bit off, so let's see if we can.
I think
get
this is where
track.
Some people fall off too, you know, like we're getting closer to Thanksgiving. I mean,
point.
Thanksgiving is the real marker. But
yeah, we're like, people start, like, if you don't have 5 wins at this point, like, who cares? Like, what's the point in trying? Like, people are going to stop setting their rosters and
stuff
like that.
I mean, it depends on how many playoff spots there are. But, like, you know, if you're 2-7, you know,
yeah,
I mean, it's time to start.
I got a couple of those
baseball research.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Our ITL Superflex and the auction one has been over. Those two have been over. But everywhere else, I'm either, you know, creeping at the top, like you and I in the flex leagues. We're number 3. We're playing Brad Evans from Fade the Noise Network
Brad
this
Evans.
Week. Yeah, we're playing Brad Evans. I like Brad. By the way, I like Brad more that he's on his own.
He brings that energy, man.
Yeah, we need
he brings
to
it.
Some maybe someday he'll answer an email. He's ignored the other emails I've ever sent before, but that was when he was at the Yahoo. So
yeah,
maybe he will. But I like Brad even more now with his own product. He's like in our sphere of type of person. Yeah, but we're gonna whoop his ass this week, based on the projections and stuff like that. But we're third place. We're behind only Bob Harris and Beller. So we're doing fantastic in the flex, like you and I.
And we did not draft well.
No.
Our flex team is proof that you can make it even if you draft bad, even if you draft Lev Bell and Leonard Fournette and Jonathan Taylor. If you do right,
even
by the
if
first
one
two
of
rounds,
the two uses their push to make sure you get Lev Bell and Leonard Fournette when the other one didn't want that.
Okay. Well, I drafted Lev Bell and Leonard Fournette, and you took Jonathan Taylor. I also took Russ Wilson and Lamar Jackson. So we're good.
Well, I mean, we agreed Lamar Jackson, and I think we both agreed Russell Wilson. I will, to be fair, I'm trying to think of who the third one was, if it was Fournette or something. I wanted to not take said person. Oh, I wanted to not take Jonathan Taylor, to take Melvin Gordon, and then come back around and take the next best running back. So here the key to your point is we absolutely blew donkey balls on what we've done with running backs, but we've been able to make good. You know, we picked up Mike Davis. Remember, I spent all that money on him, and we were able to get him in there.
We drafted Terry McLaurin. Yeah, we had
our wideouts have been good, and we have had Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson at the top, and that has paid off, and we're in third place. So I got plenty of leagues.
And Lamar is not even playing up, and we're in third.
Yeah. So. Well, and I'm not in a space where it's like I haven't been. Like I've only got, you know, two leagues that I'm invested in, so my care is going down. That's not even close. I think I only have two leagues that are done. Everything else, I've been first in guillotine the entire year. Most points, I've been killing that, and I've got a couple of those others.
Find some wood, knock on it, Welsh.
No, I know. I mean, I was almost knocked 1 week, and I have Jonathan Taylor in that. I was almost knocked, so believe me. And this is the 1 week I don't have Pat Mahomes, but I do have Kamara and Derrick Henry. But like I said, it's the double digis, weird time, and that's what we're going to get through today. And I think Gary will be a nice fresh of breath air for us that we can have some fun. And we got a lot of news and notes. We've got snap counts. We're going to go through the ranks. We're going to pick apart those, and Gary will be here in a little bit. But we want to remind you guys, come and check us out over at patreon.com/ITL Army. It is the audio universe of In This League. It's like the Marvel universe, but there's like not a multiverse. There's only one. And it's a multi-pass.
It might be a
Patreon.
Multiverse. We don't know.
You think so? I mean, we might be creating one soon with some other projects we're doing. So there might be some other universes that you could exist in. But over there right now, you can get in on the secret shows. We dropped earlier in the week, The Mandalorian Episode 2. We've got a secret show coming up here. I mean, Jesus, 6 secret shows you're going to get in November. Lots of baseball content, GroupMe rooms, live streams, and stuff is always building. And we deeply appreciate anybody that comes and supports us. So if whether it's the support or the stuff that you want, come and check it out. We've also got discount codes on all of the brand new logoed apparel, which I
can't wait to get my stuff. By
I ordered a few of I ordered the zip up hoodie. And then, what did I order? The shirt was either just the sign logo, or maybe it was the baseball podcast logo. I don't remember. But I got the zip-up black hoodie, which looks badass. And then I bought one of the navy blue logoed shirts. I'm very excited about it.
When we're done here, we gotta go over that stuff.
Damn right. When stuff is starting to come in, our boy SP Streamer bought one of the mugs and shared it. Our boy Eric Toff shared the shirt. So I love seeing the share. So you can just do it. Teespring ITL store. Or if you join up with the Army, you will get a discount code, a promo code that you can get a little bit off if you get some stuff. So we'd appreciate that. So do the right thing. Come on, folks. Do the right thing. News.
Hey, folks.
Yeah, that's my Mark Maron. You know what? Let's take a quick little break. Let's come back. We got lots of news and notes right here on In This League.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In This League.
Christian McCaffrey is back, and he's gone. Get back to the back of the line. Mike Davis, welcome back. Hilarious that the tweet we had for the Monday show was like, Mike Davis, see ya! And then I think I misquoted it on Black Book. Someone was like, and he's back.
Andy's back.
Yeah, or whatever it was. It was just funny. Whatever the person quote tweeted or tweeted back was, it just made me laugh about the whole process of it. But Mike Davis, right back in the chair, because Christian McCaffrey is expected to miss this week. And there's a little bit of worry that it could be even further extended. And you know what? I am curious. We got to talk about Mike Davis, and it's probably more appropriate for the rank part of the episode. But do you feel... you think this is going to carry over into future year? Because we had all this conversation this week about like Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Kamara. Do you think this is going to create a little bit more worry, or is this a one-off on McCaffrey?
No, I think this is a one-off. I think he's just going to miss this week, and I think he'll be back next week. And I mean, this is a tough matchup against Tampa Bay anyway that they're playing here, so there's not a lot of incentive to play him here. So I think he's going to be fine. He's still, like, on a per-game basis, averaging more points than anybody else. So
we just need, like,
I think he's still going to be, like, a top three pick at the very least.
It's great for us in flex because we needed that Mike Davis play this week. And personally, we just need, like, a Clyde Edwards. I don't want to put the juju out there, but, you know, like the Clyde Edwards-Helaire maybe misses a couple games or maybe like a Ronald Jones.
Who you can
Jones.
Curse? Who's not on any of your teams that you can curse this week?
Who can I curse?
Yeah, well, that it seemed like that's who you were searching for in your
Well,
team.
I mean, I have Edwards-Helaire in a couple places.
One of these guys.
I'm just Ronald Jones. If I want to be like super specific, Ronald Jones, I have absolutely nowhere, and we have Leonard Fournette in the flex league. So, like, one of those, you're just waiting for that opportunity to get some more running backs. So the Mike Davis thing comes at a really good time. As well, for many people, maybe not for the Kareem Hunt owner, Nick Chubb is expected to be back this week, and that is a big deal. And it's interesting because it has an opportunity to get the Browns back to what the early part of the season started with, because with Chubb out, you didn't see Kareem Hunt just go and buck. You just saw Kareem Hunt kind of getting the work, and then they would just have less carries. When you get back to this, this is an opportunity for Chubb to open back up the offense. Kareem Hunt is going to take a little bit of a step back, but he seemed to thrive a little bit more in that role of being able to be the you know, the later down back off of Chubb and have big breakaways. So do you expect Hunt to take a big, like, push down? And are you excited about Chubb's return?
No, I don't think Hunt is going to have a big step down, but I'm absolutely excited about Chubb's. I keep wanting to call him Chumped. I don't know why.
That's so mean.
I'm combining Chubb and Hunt, so my brain is not working today. But I have a couple teams with Chubb, so I'm excited to see him come back for sure. But I think in at least one of those leagues, it's too late. Like, my season got wrecked when he went out. So not that big a deal. But no, I mean, we've seen these guys coexist, so they're both going to be fine.
Okay. I mean, there was a period of time where we were talking about them not coexisting and, you know, Chubb not being able to be an RB1. I think it's great because this brings another RB1 back into the territory. I actually think this is a little bit better for Kareem Hunt. I don't know about you. Like, let me look here. How long has Chubb been out? Is it 4 weeks?
Yeah, something like that.
Does that sound
it's
about
been,
right?
It's been a while. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go over the last 4 weeks. Kareem Hunt had 20, 13, 18, and 14 carries from week 5 to week 8. He has had 70 yards rushing twice, only twice. He has been under 70 twice, obviously. Under 40 was in one of the games. That was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has not had more than 3 receptions in a single game. He's averaged 2.5, it looks like. But I think he only hit 100 total yards once in those 4 games with Chubb out. And I know that's not like this huge marker, like, hey, what did he do with Chubb? He was just, he actually hasn't scored a touchdown since Chubb has been gone. He had a rushing touchdown. He had 3 rushing touchdowns and 2 receiving touchdowns during that time. He's had 2 receiving touchdowns since Chubb has been gone, if you go to week 5. So, you know, I mean, maybe he's a step down, but I feel like it opens up more opportunity for him to be a little bit more explosive in those shorter spurts, because the Cleveland Browns just didn't utilize him. They didn't utilize him at, I mean, like 5% more uptick. Maybe?
Yeah.
He had his best targeted and receiving game in a game where Chubb was still there.
Yeah, he's only been, since week 5, he's only been a running back 1 once. So he's been an RB2 since then. So, I mean, that's why I don't think we're going to see much of a change in Hunt when Chubb comes back. It's just, you know, what we really want to see is Chubb, you know, start to put up numbers again. And hopefully that opens up some stuff for Hunt. But this whole offense is kind of in question a little bit this week. Baker just came off the COVID thing, I think, today. So he didn't get to enjoy the bye week and the extra practices and stuff because he was on the COVID list. So, you know, this is kind of going to be a normal week for the Browns.
Well, and, you know, and Chubb does 100%. Like, it's still not a guarantee that he goes, but he's most likely. I'm actually, one thing I will tell you, I'm back in a little bit. I'll be curious to see where he ranks. I'm not a Rashard Higgins dropper. Like, I still believe in him with Odell out, and I'm kind of excited to see where he's ranked, and I think he'd be someone I'd be playing this week. Coming off of, you know, just a horrid first game with Odell out and then a bye week, I think he's going to be available in a lot of spots. I'd be picking back up Higgins, but that me.
Yeah, I like Higgins, too, for deeper leagues.
Your boy, sure. Ben Roethlisberger, on the COVID-19 list, because he sat next to Vance McDonald, essentially. He tested negative. So he wasn't positive, but on the charter plane, he was sitting next to Vance, who, you know, whatever Vance was doing, tested positive. And I don't know where the status is as far as, like, is he going to be good to go? Is he doing rapid tests every single day? Because if not, you're going to see Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, he'll be fine to play as far as COVID stuff goes. He can be cleared and come back on Saturday. So he just has to test negative through Friday, and he already has. Through Wednesday here. So most likely he'll be good to go for that. He did hurt both of his knees, though, of course, just so everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to know Ben is hurt. He hurt both of his knees against the Cowboys, and he might not play because of that still as well. So there's still a little bit of a question mark, but I think he's going to end up playing on Sunday.
It's a downgrade, though, if he doesn't. If Mason Rudolph is in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Mason Rudolph is so terrible.
Are you downgrading all of them?
All of them. If Rudolph is in there, you don't want any of them.
You don't want to start any of them?
I don't want to. I mean, you might have to in season long. You might have to go, you know, for Claypool and Deontay Johnson and those guys, you know, but I'm trying to get them out of my lineup.
What about Connor? Are you more on Connor in that game? You got to imagine Tomlin would be like, all right, 25 carries in the first half.
Yeah, you know what? You probably should be. But the usage of Connor last week makes me be wary of him as a whole. It was so weird. It wasn't even an injury thing. It was just like you're playing against Dallas. Run the ball a little bit, especially when Ben gets banged up, and they just refuse to run it. They passed it the whole game. So it was very, 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 very strange game script last week. So that gives me a little pause. But yeah, I mean, I think Ben is going to play and everyone should be status quo. He's just going to be limping a little bit, you know, and he'll get some attention.
Might leave a series or two to get that big old knee brace and make sure the cameras are following and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Grab at his elbow a couple times, too, just to make sure people know.
He's like Peter Griffin.
He was hurt. Yes.
I'm just gifting Roethlisberger on Peter Griffin there. In other news, T.Y. Hilton back to practicing in full. Don't matter, right, though. Garbage. I dropped him the other day in one of my leagues because he's trash. Cam Newton is dealing with neck soreness after taking the big hit from Ashton Davis. I'd also say, I don't know what this matters. How are you? I mean, you got to be in a desperate situation to be starting Cam Newton.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you can start Jacoby Myers, who has, I think he has like the fifth or sixth most targets over the last 3 weeks in the NFL. So he's been huge. But
Jacoby Myers single-handedly won me a game in our 20-man IDP. I haven't been good, but I think I've strung together a couple wins and I got a shot. You know, if I can pull wins out the next two or three weeks, I'm going to be a little bit of a force because all my running backs are coming back too. But I had Jacoby Myers in my flex because I had so many bye week issues last week. And I mean, I think he single-handedly won me the week.
You know who won me a week last week because I was out of a bunch of guys, specifically at wide receivers, was your boy Richie James.
Absolutely.
Won me a week. So it was a decent week for that. Sometimes you can fire those players in and they work.
Richie James. But Cam Newton, I mean, it's great for what Jacoby Myers was, but Cam Newton is still trash. It's just not a... It's not even a question.
You don't want to start him, but it affects everything else.
Yeah, if you're deciding between Sam Darnold and Cam Newton, okay.
Yeah. Exactly. But what I meant was this is more for Jacoby Myers. Like if you have been playing him or you got him on your waiver wire and it's going to be Stidham, I'm just not as comfortable with him with Stidham as I am with Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. Also on the Patriots side, Damian Harris left with a chest injury on Monday night. And, you know, if he's going to miss any games, I think it just further pushes how much of a start Rex Burkhead is. And it's still amazing to think of how irrelevant James White is. He's just nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they need a change at quarterback at for this team. And I don't know.
Name a position that they're really
someone.
Good with. Corner?
Corner, yeah. Maybe.
Is that
I
it?
Mean, yeah. With Gilmore, that's it, though.
There are rumors of trading Gilmore at the trade deadline, too, so that might change.
I mean, that might be the second worst team in the NFL behind the Jets. So,
yeah, I mean,
they're bad.
Yeah, maybe just, you know, uniqueness in coaching. So Rex Burkhead is someone that I think you can be putting out there. Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde for the Seahawks, both expected to return to practice this week. And that's a very good thing for any Carson owner, which I am one of those.
It's still 50-50 for those guys, though. You got to pay attention to it. So
yeah, you got
to
watch
it. To practice, they're not guaranteed to play.
And if it's not, go back to the well with DJ Dallas if he doesn't play. But I think Carson, I'm optimistic about Carson going this week. Andy Dalton still has not been cleared from concussion protocol, and McCarthy is not optimistic, as Dallas fans, Dallas players, Dallas reporters, and anybody should be optimistic about the Cowboys.
Yeah, you shouldn't be optimistic about the Cowboys, but, you know, I think what Garrett Gilbert showed last week is enough for you to have confidence to start your Cowboys wide receivers. Because if it was Ben DiNucci
CD's
again,
good, yeah.
Yeah, if it was Ben DiNucci again, I wouldn't start any of them. But I think you can start all of them.
You think Tony Pollard is going to be flex startable this week? And you know, with the little bit of run he was starting to get, you think they might push that narrative a little bit further?
I hope so, but I mean, that would be a smart thing to do, and I don't know if the Cowboys are doing that stuff right now. I mean, they played much, much better last week. Obviously, I have newfound respect for the Cowboys because they almost ended the Steelers' undefeated season last week, but I don't know if I'm going to go jumping on the Pollard bandwagon quite yet.
Noah Fant expected to be fine after sustaining an ankle injury on Sunday, so you can lock him in if you need to. Kenyon Drake is considered day-to-day. He returned to practice on Wednesday. My boy Mike Jarecki was posting some video out there. It looked like he was getting some real work in. So I think it just moves Drake and Edmonds to both flex options. I'm not sure either one of them are fantastic. You want your best-case scenario is Edmonds getting the full run. But I think they're both flex. You probably are going to have to play them in some capacity this week regardless. Some other little notes. Jake Luton going to start this week, so fire up DJ Chark. Alex Smith is going to start. Haskins is going to be the backup. Okay. This one, ESPN reports that LaMichael Perine is going to be a featured back over the remainder of the season as the organization is trying to determine if he can be a number one. Bottom line, they're going to give him more looks and more carries.
And Frank Gore less. So, you know, if you're in a deep league and you've been firing up Frank Gore just because you know he's getting carries, it might be time to end that.
Yeah,
so,
David Johnson's status.
Kind of ugly.
Yeah, David Johnson's status up, kind of up in the air. I think this might be a Duke Johnson week, and he would be a very, very comfortable start, especially if he's the only guy. And then Preston Williams on the IR with an ankle injury.
And I just saw that Justin Jackson is not going to practice this week and is probably going to miss again. So, Kalen Ballage looks like maybe for one more week.
That's interesting though, because after they designated him on the practice squad there's only, you know what? He might be okay.
He's okay.
Well, no. I'm saying because there was this issue with the Giants when you've only got so many designations.
You can do it three times.
Yeah.
Can pull them up three times. After that, you have to sign them to the actual roster.
And that's a situation that Alfred Morris is in right now, where Devontae Freeman can't go, then they would have to sign to a rest of the season year contract for Alfred Morris if they were to bring him up. So I guess Kalen Ballage is not on that because right after the game they sent him down. So it looks like he would be back up. I hate to say it, but he's probably the guy. I mean, they just don't trust Josh Kelly, and Kalen Ballage is a flex start this week.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean,
who hates it more than me?
I'm going to go as far as calling him a flex start because I don't know if I can buy in even after a decent game. But they sure do hate Josh Kelly, don't they? So
yeah, I mean, the dude just got like 15 or 16 carries. Kalen Ballage did, and a touchdown. He's going to be the featured back. I don't think there's a question about that.
It's interesting as far as snap counts go, and we'll talk about that when we get to it.
All right, let's do it right now. Let's actually go to snap counts. What's messy?
Messy right now, we've got, the culture is going to remain messy for a while. Naheem Hines, 23, Wilkins, 23, Taylor, 21. So Who would you pick to have the best year remaining out of those guys? Still Taylor by a landslide?
It's not by a landslide. You cannot say that. Wilkins is getting the majority. I'm still going to go Taylor. You know, I had to put Taylor out in the league, and I think we had to have him in flex last week, and that touchdown saved
it. I think we need him this week, too.
Yeah, we got to put him out there. It's just not a choice. But I kind of wish if he's really dealing with an injury, just let him have a week off. Just like, let's get him healthy. Let's kill 1 week, and you can go all Jordan Wilkins. And then let's bring him back. But I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor because why? This team, I think, is kind of faltering. They saw some early success as Jordan Taylor was the guy, or Jonathan Taylor was the guy. And I think that's who needs to be the guy. So yeah. I would still go on Jonathan Taylor, but it is not a landslide, and nor do I feel comfortable about it.
Yeah, the rest of these that are still split, I mean, or messy, CEH 25, Bell 19, Darrell Williams 18. So not only is it CEH and Bell, but Williams is getting snaps in there also, so not great. Miami is ugly without Myles Gaskin. Ahmed had 28, Malcolm Perry had 23, Jordan Howard had 21, and Patrick Laird had 12. So
you think Salvin Ahmed is a guy that if you were desperate you put out there?
Yeah, I think I would rather start Jordan Howard because he's still getting goal line carries when he's active. But, if Howard wasn't available, I think I would go Ahmed. Okay. But I hate that whole situation. Oh, yeah, I don't want any part of it. Detroit, Kerryon got more than Peterson this week. This is the most snaps Kerryon's had all year at 25. But Swift led with 30 and Peterson had 20. So that's still a big mess. I mean, Swift is the guy to own here, but Peterson is going by the wayside. And look, you know, it's Fournette with more snaps again, 33-16 to Ronald Jones, but the usage was bad for both these dudes. So,
yeah. But I think the snap count tells a bigger story that, like, you know, you and I, we have kind of a messy running back situation going on out there. But I think seeing the snap count in favor of Leonard Fournette, regardless of the usage, is a positive that Fournette is the guy moving forward.
How many games remaining do you think that, because there's 6 games left for most teams? So, of the games remaining, how many does Leonard Fournette outscore Ronald Jones in?
Oh, I mean, I'd say probably like I'd go four to
four
six.
Or five.
Oh, four or, to six.
Like 4 to 6. Okay, so most of them.
Yeah.
I would say that too, but I'm not going to be shocked if it's split.
Well, but yeah, but I think that's the point. That's also like the point. It's just a guessing game. Like
that's why I left it in messy and I didn't put
The math that you would go with is Leonard Fournette is getting a majority of the snaps right now. And even though Ronald Jones has been the most productive, I would side on the guy that is getting this late run, but there is no guarantee. And you're in. It's just one of those you're going to get wrong every week. You feel like you're going to get wrong every week. I think it's a big week. You know, this next run we get of Leonard Fournette where the team can normalize a little bit and we can get back to a running game. I think it'll be telling and I think it'll be split.
For the leaning one way, I put Wayne Gallman in this one. The Giants gave him 44 snaps, 17 for Lewis, 16 for Alfred Morris. That obviously changes if Freeman comes back. So we'll see, but with Freeman out, it's definitely leaning toward Gallman. Still split, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, 36-24. Buffalo, Moss, I think this might be the first or second time he's outsnapped Singletary, 38-31, but they're still very, very close. Misleading, I put this in here because Joshua Kelly had more snaps than Kalen Ballage, 43-31, outsnapped him by 12, but Ballage had way more touches.
Yeah.
And then McKissick, 45. To Antonio Gibson, 25. That's quite a disparity.
I just don't think that's misleading, though, because McKissick is still productive.
I think it's misleading because, and it might not be moving forward, but it's misleading because Gibson still gets the majority of the RB carries. And there's been plenty of games where this is much closer than 20 snaps. It's like 2 or 3 in McKissick's favor.
The snaps are only representative of carries. It's just representative of the back being out there.
I understand that this could be misleading. I didn't know where to put this.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, I see why you're saying it, because if you're picking between Gibson is the guy and it's heavily weighted in McKissick's. But what's weird about it is McKissick is actually pretty valuable in how dominant he is in the passing game. So this is like,
Only,
you know what? He's like
only
a James
from
White
last week. That, like, McKissick's big thing was last week, but that was the first week with Alex Smith for a full game or most of the game. So that it might be leaning more towards McKissick than it is Gibson moving forward with Alex Smith for the rest of the year because Kyle Allen's out. So I'm not sure.
Well,
like, they may start to give Gibson more carries as the season goes on and more touches and snaps and stuff, because that's what we do with rookie running backs. That's what the NFL does.
Yeah, so. I'm not arguing about, like, the carries. Like, Antonio Gibson is that, but it's not misleading in that he has been getting the ball. In four of the last five games, McKissick has at least six catches in four of the last five. Seven, six, six. He kind of went down against Dallas, only having two, and then he had nine. He's been targeted 8, 6, 2, and 14. Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is he's heavily in the snaps. They trust him more in pass protection. They don't run him a bunch. I think he's averaging, like, four carries over the last five games, but he gets tons of catches. So he actually has put up, I mean, of those, what am I saying? The four of the last 5 weeks, he's put up 10 points at least in four of those five games in PPR because of the catches and the receiving yards.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's why I put this in misleading, because McKissick is getting the run, but we expect Antonio Gibson to be the guy there. Yeah. And that might not be the case moving forward with Alex Smith. Like you said, McKissick much, much better at protecting the quarterback because of his experience. And that's what they need with McKissick back there. Obviously, it didn't work because they're down Kyle Allen. So, he got hurt, and that's going to mean Gibson comes off the field a little more. Yeah. So, wide receiver stuff. I just wanted to point some weird ones out here that, Atlanta, Zaki has had more snaps than Russell Gage, 52-39. I thought that was interesting. So we'll see if that keeps up moving forward. I know Gage has had some injury stuff. I don't know if he tweaked anything here or if they were just running more plays for Zacchaeus, but that was interesting. Gallup actually led the Cowboys in snaps, 68. Cooper had 58. Lamb had 38. But Lamb also had the touchdown. So that was interesting. And then A.B. versus Scotty Miller was A.B. 39, Scotty Miller 19 in A.B.'s first game. So Scotty Miller going by the wayside.
Yeah, and I think we all saw that one coming. A.B. moving a little bit forward. Second game up might be a little bit better. All right, that's all the news, the notes, the snaps. Let's go get to our guest, Gary Davenport, IDP Sharks.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh.
Welcome back, everybody. Guest time up on the ITL right now, and I am joined by one of my favorites in the industry. I talk to him every single week. You can hear him on the IDP show that I do, the Individual Defensive Podcast for Fantrax. He is Gary Davenport at IDP Sharks, and just listen to this long list of all the stuff that he does, according to his Twitter profile. NFL analyst at Bleacher Report, senior writer for Fantasy Sharks, IDP writer at Roto-World, member of the FSWA and PFWA, two-time FSWA Football Writer of the Year, Warden of the North, King of the First Men, and all of the Andals. Gary Davenport at IDP Sharks. What is going on, man?
Oh, such an intro. I'm doing pretty well. Glad to be here. Talk a little offense for once. Would be a nice change of pace.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're always talking IDP stuff, but we are going to talk some offense here. Unfortunately, Chris couldn't make it. He had to step out to take care of some family stuff. So he will be back with us as soon as we're done with this segment, everybody. But I want to ask you first about Lamar Jackson, Gary, and he has finished as a QB1 in four games, finished as a QB2 in four games, and he is not hitting that MVP stride that he had last year by any stretch of the imagination. So for the rest of the season, is Lamar a QB1 or a QB2?
Probably a low-end QB1. I mean, I don't think the folks that drafted him, because in a lot of leagues he came off the board second behind Patrick Mahomes, there were a few where he was the first quarterback drafted. You're not getting that value. You're not getting that return. I don't know if it's a matter of just we overshot, our expectations were too high based on what he did last year, whether it's a matter of defenses kind of figuring him out a little bit this season. But, you know, I think we're probably, when the dust settles, he's going to be in that 8 to 10 range, and that's a disappointment, but odds are you don't have anything better on your roster. Unless, I mean, if you were lucky enough to, say, get a Justin Herbert off the waiver wire a week into the season, I'd probably be starting him ahead of Lamar Jackson most weeks from here out.
Yeah, that's the guy that the Welsh and I were kind of discussing specifically for this week. If you wanted to start him, Lamar Jackson against New England, or if you'd rather go with Justin Herbert against, who are they playing, Vegas? Denver?
No, they are at home against the Chargers.
That's it. Well, they are the Chargers. So who are the Chargers playing?
Miami.
Miami, that's it. Yeah, you're right. Miami.
I had a two. There was a...
Yeah, yeah. I got you. But yeah, so would you rather go with Herbert or Jackson this week?
I would go with Herbert.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. It's it's very weird to say to bench Lamar Jackson, but he has been putting up the numbers that we're expecting from him. What about Dalvin Cook? Now, he has been a monster the last 2 weeks, but while he has been tearing it up and, you know, people are talking about, is he the first running back off the board next year? That still remains to be seen. He's definitely in the top three or four right now. But while he has been tearing it up, and I've talked about it, how this is the game script that Mike Zimmer wants to use. He wants to run the ball as many times as possible to let Kirk Cousins throw it as few times as possible, because you don't want Kirk Cousins, defining your season. But it's turned Adam Thielen the last 2 weeks has been wide receiver 63 and 76, and Justin Jefferson wide receiver 64 and 55 over the last 2 weeks. They haven't finished higher than a wide receiver 5. Are you worried about those two guys in particular moving forward this season, Gary?
Yes, for the reasons you said. I mean, if the Vikings could have their druthers, the team we saw the last couple weeks is the team we're going to see moving forward. Now, that's not to say that that's going to be the case every week, because opponents, you know, don't necessarily want Dalvin Cook gashing him for 200 and something odd yards a week. So there will be games where the Vikings have to throw the ball more. But I think Thielen's got 5 catches for 65 yards in the last 2 games combined. And that obviously is not the production you thought you were getting when you drafted him. But I don't know how you could look at either one of those guys as more than like a low-end wide receiver 3 flex type. And you're like, this week against Chicago, I'd bench them both. It's a terrible matchup, and they're going to try like crazy to run the ball with Dalvin Cook.
On the Sunday show, when we're reviewing what happened on Sunday, I always put anyone over 50% on wide receivers that gets 5 or fewer targets or scores less than 10 points on the potentially cuttable list. And these guys have been on it 2 weeks in a row now. Now, there's plenty of guys to get. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was on that list this week because he only had 3 targets. I'm throwing up air quotes, even though he drew 68 pass interference penalties or whatever he had against Xavien Howard, but he only had 3 catches for 30 yards. But both those guys have shown up 2 weeks in a row. I mean, at what point do these guys become actually droppable? Because I think it's eye rolling now. I don't think he would drop Thielen or Jefferson right now. But like, if they continue this pace for a month, 4 straight games of not finishing higher than a wide receiver 4 or 5, are they then cuttable, or are you just kind of rolling the dice and sticking with what you bought here?
Yeah, it's going to depend on what's out there on your waiver wire. You'd have to come across a very nice little waiver gem, I think, before I would outright drop them. They're just going to be glued to my bench and hope that, you know, game script turns around. Dalvin Cook has been known. I mean, this is the last thing I would have happened, but Dalvin Cook has been known to get dinged up. So,
yeah.
And, you know, if something like that were to happen, Madison's a talented running back, but you're not going to see him coming and put up Dalvin type of numbers, and the Vikings are going to have to throw the ball more. But I agree. It's alarming. As a guy who has a couple shares of Thielen, I certainly wouldn't start him in week 10. It's not happening.
How about another wide receiver that is not performing so far this year? Mike Evans. He's finished as a wide receiver one twice this season, and he's a wide receiver 35 overall on this year. Is he going to be able to salvage his season? Because, you know, having AB there should open up more stuff for him, but also it might take a little bit away because Tom Brady will tend to hone in on one guy and throw the ball to him a million times. Or maybe I'm just thinking of all the times that they've knocked the Steelers out of the AFC Championship when Chris Hogan is getting 55 catches. And I know all about his lacrosse career because he catches the ball so much that they're digging that deep. Or Julian Edelman and how he took Jerry Rice's daughter to prom. I know that, because they have been stomping the Steelers in some games as well. But Tom Brady is the QB here. Mike Evans has not panned out yet. He has been banged up. So what's your thoughts on him overall moving forward into the year?
I think the injury plays a part. I think you could see some improvement. I don't know if he's going to stick in wide receiver three territory, but I'd be surprised if he makes it into that wide receiver one, because Mike Evans has been so consistent to this point in his career, 1,000 yards every season. That streak looks like it's going to end. And Brady spreads the ball around. You've got Godwin. You've got Gronkowski. Now you've got Antonio Brown. That's a lot of mouths to feed in the passing game. So I think you'll see some improvement, but not nearly as much as Mike Evans' fantasy managers would hope for.
How about a player debate between him and Travis Fulgham, who is a wide receiver one, but when undrafted in literally every single draft that was done this year? Would you rather have, for the rest of the year, Fulgham or Evans?
As things stand today, I'd rather have Fulgham. But I think if you could ask me in a week or two, and it could be completely different. Because the Eagles, you know, as they start to get a little bit healthier, is he still going to see the same target share that he has? Will Mike Evans get healthy and take off? So it's close. But yet Fulgham's been awesome for the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles aren't putting up any style points as they do it, but they're getting fantasy points. Wentz is a top 10 quarterback. Fulgham's been awesome. They get Miles Sanders back. Maybe he'll be able to salvage something. And if Zach Ertz is dead, I should know. I have him in every league.
So it's your fault. It's your fault these days.
Yes,
that makes sense.
It is.
Evans versus Christian Kirk? Because you're absolutely right about Fulgham. I mean, he could not only lose touches to Rager and then Jeffrey when he gets healthy. And, you know, you said Zach Ertz dead, but he's still a guy that has seen a ton of targets in the past. But Kirk is kind of stepping into a big time role over the last 2-3 weeks here with the Cardinals. Would you rather go with Evans or Kirk?
Oh, that's close. I guess I'd have to say Kirk, although I think Kirk right now is a great sell high candidate as we get close to the trade deadline, because he's been so hot the last few weeks. Yeah. And there's nowhere to go but down for him at this point. So, I mean, if you need help at another position and you've got some wide receiver depth, he's a guy that I might look to move.
What about Mike Evans? This is the last one on him versus Curtis Samuel, who hasn't been big, but the last 2 weeks he's put up huge numbers, and he's kind of seems like right now he's overtaking DJ Moore as far as the Panthers' leader in targets. So, Curtis Samuel, last 2 weeks has been great. Versus Mike Evans, who just, you know, is limping along right now.
I'm going to stick with Evans because it's only been a couple weeks out of Samuel, although I wouldn't be surprised if, again, in 2 weeks, I don't regret that decision because, like you said, I mean, Samuel appears to be – Robbie Anderson is obviously the alpha receiver
right,
in Carolina right now.
But I didn't do that one because it's obvious, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and
much for that, Robbie.
Samuel appears to have slid right around DJ Moore, who, of course, was the first Carolina receiver to come off the board in every draft this year. So, of course, he's number three, because what a fan. We know nothing. That's what it boils down to. We think we know in September, but by November, we're like, I have no idea.
It's us and Jon Snow. We know nothing. Exactly. how about Todd Gurley? And he is a perfect RB2 in my line. He is the Mendoza line of running backs. Like, you want 50 yards. If anything you get is great. You want one touchdown. That's 11 points a game. And whatever you get is a cherry on top. If he gets 75 yards, if he gets 100 yards, if he gets in the end zone twice, whatever. So you know what you're getting out of Gurley. It's 50 yards and a score and 11 points at the bare minimum most weeks. So knowing that he is one of those guys, and he's running back 16 on the year, which is dead in the middle of RB2 territory as well. I want to know if you'd rather have Gurley or some of these other guys for the rest of the season. And all of these guys are behind him in points per game. So the first one we're going to start with is James Conner. Would you rather go with Todd Gurley or James Conner for the rest of the season?
You know what? I'm going to go with James Conner there. It's fairly close. Those guys were drafted right in the same neighborhood, probably within a handful of picks of one another. I like the overall state of that Pittsburgh offense a little more. You got to remember Connor missed some time earlier in the season. We're getting later in the year, so that weather up there in the Steel City going to start getting a little sketchy. Pittsburgh's going to lean on that run game a little more. Again, it's close, but I'll take James Conner there.
How about Todd Gurley or DeAndre Swift, who we've seen now he's getting the most snaps among those running backs, but they still have three involved there. But he's put up some decent weeks here and there. So are you going with Gurley or Swift?
There, I'm going to stick with Gurley. I mean, Swift is showing some. I think he had like 97 total yards this past week against the Vikings. But you've still got Adrian Peterson there who's going to wind up vulturing a couple touchdowns. And it's the Lions, and I don't want to put my fantasy playoff hopes in the hands of the Detroit Lions if I can at all avoid it.
I mean, wise. This is the sage advice that you get from Davenport is do not trust your put any trust in the Lions. And I absolutely agree with you on that. What about this one? This one, I feel like this would be one of those true 50-50s if we put out a poll on it. Maybe not, but Todd Gurley. And I do love that everyone was worried about Todd Gurley and his knee coming into the year. And it was the same stuff that happened last year. They were talking about him limping and not looking great in practice. And then he plays, you know, all the games. So, but Todd Gurley versus Jonathan Taylor, who, you know, if I asked you this a month ago, this is not close. It's easy, Jonathan Taylor. He's got way too much upside. But we've seen Jordan Wilkins carry the ball more than him. We've seen Nyheim Hines get involved. He was third in snaps last week behind both those guys, not by a ton, 23 apiece for those guys, 21 for him. But I don't know. It looks less like a guarantee that Taylor is going to have a breakout, and it might just be a weird, bumpy rookie season for him. But he still has a ton of upside. You watched him play at Wisconsin. You're a Big Ten guy. So who would you rather take between Gurley and Taylor?
Gurley, and it's not especially close for me. Taylor appears to have fallen out of favor somewhat with that Indianapolis coaching staff. Of those 21 snaps he had last week, most of them before he put the ball on the ground and Chuck Clark of the Ravens picked it up and scooted into the end zone for Baltimore's first touchdown. After that, he was firmly in the doghouse. I think it's a committee for the Colts the rest of the way. I certainly didn't expect that at the beginning of the season, but Taylor's, you know, been kind of up and down, and I think it's starting to wear on Frank Reich and that staff, and Wilkins and Hines when given the opportunity of producing. So I think you're going to see a three-headed monster there the rest of the way.
God, I hate that. I wish they would just give it to Taylor, but he hasn't looked good. So you're absolutely right. How about one more rookie versus Todd Gurley? And this one is Antonio Gibson, who is one of those slow burn guys we expect to have a big second half of the year. And he was ramping up towards that before this Kyle Allen injury. And then last week with Alex Smith in there, who is going to start this week as well, they really leaned on JD McKissic and his pass protection, plus his pass catching. 14 targets for McKissic from Alex Smith. We know that Alex Smith doesn't have a big arm, but I don't know that I would expect McKissic to see, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 targets a game here. So Gibson has been getting most of the rushing attempts. McKissic has been catching the ball pretty well. But, you know, we know what we're getting out of Todd Gurley. We're getting that 50 yards and a score. We're getting that 11 points. Antonio Gibson can be a boom or bust. So how do you see that one playing out between those two guys?
I like Gibson a lot this week against Detroit, who I believe are giving up the most PPR points to running backs this year. But I'm going to have to go with Gurley there because of that floor you mentioned. That Washington offense, I mean, you never know when you're going to have a week where the whole thing's just going to crater and you're not going to get 11 fantasy points out of the entire starting Washington offense. So I'm going to stick with Gurley there in the floor. Like Gibson, I think he's going to have some big weeks between now and the end of the season, but there's also going to be weeks where you get, you know, 2, maybe 3 points. Washington falls behind and you wind up seeing a ton of McKissic, who now people are going to be running to the waiver wire this week to get. That's where we're at, folks, is JD McKissic is popular now.
How dare you disparage the great name of JD McKissic, by the way. I mean, the guy has been a lot of fun to watch, but I don't know. He's always underrated, but on the year, let me see. It is, let's see, at 16. hold on, points per game. Oh, this is stupid projected. Hold on. Let me go to actual and go to points per game. So these are mainly Gurley you're leaning outside of Connor. So let me give you some other names here that are ahead of Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley or Kareem Hunt?
Oh, that's an interesting one with Nick Chubb coming back. Probably going to go Gurley because Kareem Hunt, I think the party is about to come to an end. So, I mean, Chubb's back. I don't think you'll see Chubb get a full workload this week against Houston. I mean, I know he's been designated return, but even if he does play, I think they'll kind of work him back in. But we've seen when Chubb's healthy, it's not a 50-50 split or even close. I mean, Chubb's the guy for Cleveland, and I expect that to be the case again once he's back on the field. So essentially, if you say Hunt, you've got to be counting on Chubb re-injuring his knee.
What about Josh Jacobs, whose usage has – or snap percentage, not necessarily his usage, but he hasn't seen the field as much as he did in the first half. What do you think about Jacobs versus Gurley?
There, I'm going to lean Jacobs because the ceiling's quite a bit higher.
All right. I think the rest of these guys, Sanders, how about Zeke?
Oh.
Zeke versus Gurley, rest of the year.
Oh, man. I got to go Zeke, but I'm going to wind up regretting it. I know I am. But again, the ceiling is so much higher. That whole, when Dak got hurt, that entire offense just.
Yeah. And dust. Zeke had fumbling issues before that too. So, and Pollard has looked good. I mean, that's the Welsh has been calling on that a little bit too.
Look at the top five in a lot of fantasy drafts this year. McCaffrey got hurt, came back, got hurt again. Saquon Barkley blew out his knee. Ezekiel Elliott's been a shell of what we expected him to be. And Michael Thomas has played what, 2 games.
Right.
I mean, Kamara is the only guy in that top five who's lived up to expectation. And then sitting in that sixth spot is Dalvin Cook, who right now is carrying. Everyone hates drafting from the sixth spot. This year, everyone's going to get championships out of it.
Yeah. Do you know who? So McCaffrey on a points per game is still one, and he's over 30 points, but, you know, hasn't played all the games, obviously. Dalvin Cook is 2. Kamara's 3. Do you know who 4 is?
James Robinson.
James Robinson's 5, actually, which is close. Unbelievable. Aaron Jones is 4. So per game.
Robinson's been the surprise of the running back position this year.
Well, yeah, undrafted Illinois State free agent for the Jaguars. Not a lot of people would put him as an RB1, but he has absolutely performed as an RB1. And he's had a little roller coastery of a year as well, because there was like 2 or 3 weeks there where he had a major, major dip. But let's do some plays of the week here, Gary. And let's start out with a quarterback who isn't considered a QB1 that you think is going to finish in that area this week.
Well, we already mentioned Justin Herbert, but I think he is a QB1 at that point. Based on what he scored this season, Jared Goff of the Los Angeles Rams most assuredly is not. But he gets the fantasy bonanza Sunday. That is playing the Seattle Seahawks. So I think Jared Goff's going to have a big week.
Yeah, I like Jared Goff too. I'm going to go with Derek Carr. Derek Carr this year has started throwing the ball downfield a little bit more and looked better and better and better. So I like him against Denver this week. Their defense is not whole, Denver's is. How about a surprise RB1 for this week, Gary? Who do you have on that front?
You know, we just mentioned him a second ago, Antonio Gibson, going up against that Detroit run defense that isn't much good at defending the run. So I think Washington is going to lean on the run game. Last week, by the time Alex Smith got in there, they were already playing from behind, and they played from behind the entire game. So they were in catch-up mode. I think they can get out to a lead this week against the Lions, and I think you'll see Gibson, 18 to 22 carries, probably go over 100 total yards and maybe get a touchdown.
That is funny because my surprise RB1 this week is on the other end of that same game. I'm taking McKissick because he outsnapped Gibson by a lot, and Alex Smith is a statue back there. So I think he's going to see a bunch of snaps, and he had 14 targets. So I don't know. Is this going to be just because Alex Smith is playing and they're afraid of him getting hurt again that McKissick gets more snaps than Gibson because of, the pass blocking and the experience that McKissick has over Antonio Gibson? Because Antonio Gibson didn't play much running back at all in college. You know,
right.
Most of his reps have been at the pro level. He was a wideout in college that carried the ball, I think, 34 times in his career in college. And then, you know, I mean, he had a game where he carried it 20 times this year. So obviously earning his spot, but still learning. How about a surprise running back of the week? Someone that's kind of low that you could see returning RB2, maybe RB3 territory.
I hate this. I hate that I'm even saying it out loud because I'm going to regret it because I've already fallen into this trap before. Kalen Ballage.
Oh, my God.
Chargers. Yeah, I know. Averaging 3.2 yards. I'm sitting here watching that game against the Raiders, and I'm like, wait a second. Kalen Ballage isn't just falling down as soon as he gets the ball. But there's a decent chance he's going to get carries this week. And, you know, I was trying to go a surprise, guys. So I will be as surprised as anyone if I actually turn out to be right about that.
I mean, it's disgusting when you look at the running backs this week. It's just ugly moving down past RB3 territory because the RB3s here that they have are guys that you want to put in this area. It's Ronald Jones and J.K. Dobbins and Duke Johnson, maybe if David doesn't play. It's Damian Harris who's banged up. It's Gus Edwards with the potential for Mark Ingram to come back. Those are already disgusting options. So going beyond them are only guys like Kalen Ballage. I mean, at 37 is Joshua Kelly. Then we have DJ Dallas we expect Carson to be back and maybe Hyde as well. Lat Murray. The guy I picked is just as ugly as yours. It's Jordan Howard. And I'm hoping that he just gets two touchdowns. That's all you can.
I looked at him.
Yeah, see, that's what it is. I looked at Kalen Ballage and I went, I can't do it. I cannot put my faith in him.
That's the same thing I said about Jordan Howard.
I'm proud of you for picking Ballage, but I'm gonna have to go with touchdown upside and go with that. That should, if that turns into a shootout, there could be a couple of opportunities. I mean, I think he had 10 carries on only 19 snaps last week. So he's, you know, when he's active, he just gets those goal line carries. So that's who I pick.
10 carries for 8 yards.
And 2 scores. That's what I want. So that's 12.8 points. We'll take it. How about a wide receiver one for this week that's not listed as a wide receiver one? Who would you pick there?
I'm going to go Brandon Cooks of the Houston Texans against the Cleveland Browns. Everyone's talking, and Will Fuller rightfully deserves to be talked about. Touchdown catching half a dozen straight games. Very, very nice. But I think Cooks went 3 catches, 83 yards, and a score last week, and the Browns have had all kinds of problems this season with the vertical passing game. So I think Deshaun Watson is going to have success with Fuller and Cooks going over the top Sunday.
I'm going to go with Devontae Parker in this against the Chargers. I think we're starting to see the chemistry develop between him and Tua. Preston Williams had some nice run with Tua, but obviously he just got placed on the IR. I think this could be a nice week for Gesicki too, but I'm going to pick Devontae Parker for that one. I think he gets a couple nice looks. How about a surprise wide receiver 2 or 3 of the week?
Go with a little revenge action for John Brown of the Buffalo Bills returning home to Arizona. I think he's going to get behind that Arizona second for a long touchdown pass in a game that has a lot of shootout potential.
I didn't even think about the revenge narrative for him, too. That's a great point. Downtown John Brown coming back home to Arizona and maybe putting up some points. I like that pick a lot. I went with Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers, like 6th. In the league in receptions and targets over the last 3 weeks. He had a ton on Monday Night Football, although it was against Bless Austin or whoever, who had 13 tackles or something crazy like that because he can't cover anybody. Obviously the Ravens defense is different, but also we expect the Ravens to get up in this game and the Patriots to have to play from behind. So give me Jacoby Myers in that one. And also only if Cam Newton's playing, because if Cam Newton doesn't play, if this neck injury or whatever keeps him out, I'm not going to start anybody with Jarrett Stidham in there. So this does have a caveat of Cam having to play. How about your deep call out on wide receiver this week?
Josh Reynolds of the Los Angeles Rams against that garbage Seattle secondary. Cooper Kupp going to have a big day. Robert Woods going to have a big day. Josh Reynolds going to have a big day. Tyler Higbee won't do nothing.
All right, I don't want to choose Aggies, so I'm not going to ride that one, but that is a good call. Seattle, you know, just aren't they on pace to give up Welsh was talking about over 5,000 yards passing this year.
Oh, I believe it.
And the record is like 4,800.
Through six games, they were on pace to be the worst defense in NFL history, and it wasn't even close.
And it's just
I forget what the 2007 or 2011 Saints holds the record for the most yards allowed ever, and they were way ahead of the pace at that point. And given what we saw last week in Buffalo, I'm gonna go ahead and guess they still ahead of the pace.
I picked this guy last week. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with Gabe Davis against the Cardinals. You're absolutely right about John Brown and that narrative, but I'm with you. I think this game is shooting in, going to turn into a shootout for sure. With Kyler Murray, going crazy and Josh Allen going crazy. So Gabe Davis keeps getting the end zone targets for whatever reason. He dropped one a couple weeks ago, scored last week. I expect him to get back in the end zone again this week. And the last one for you, Gary, here is your surprise tight end play of the week. Who would that be?
I think this week just about any tight end who actually did something would be a surprise tight end, because we got Kelsey's on a bye, Kittle's dead, Mark Andrews sucks now, Ertz is dead. I mean, the tight ends, we thought there was going to be, you know, we're like, all right, we got some talent coming into the tight end position. It's going to be a little deeper this year.
Hockenson and Fant are fourth and fifth in scoring respectively. But, I mean, it's not because they're scoring a ton of points. It's because no tight end is scoring points. So
right. If you don't have Kelsey or Waller, you're like.
So who's your guy this week? Who are you betting on?
Ross Dwelley of the San Francisco 49ers. They throw to the tight end regardless of who's out there, and they're running out of who's to put out there. So I'm a Ross Dwelley going to get a touchdown this week against the New Orleans Saints in garbage time to save the day.
I'm going to pick on the Seahawks secondary again. I'm going to go with Gerald Everett. Between him and Higbee, Everett has been better recently, so he is going to be my guy that I pick for this week. And that's everything, Gary. Please follow Gary on IDP Sharks or on Twitter at IDP Sharks. And Gary, tell everybody about all the stuff you're writing if you have enough time. I mean, where all do you write and where can they catch all your stuff coming up this week?
Oh, you can check me out at BleacherReport.com, Fantasy Sharks, Roto World, Football Diehards. I'd say your best bet, because I always, you know, promote everything that I do on Twitter. So just follow me at IDP Sharks on Twitter, and there will be links to everything, including the individual defensive podcast that Scott and I do each week.
That's right. If you guys are fans of IDP, that is a must listen. Gary gives us some great advice every single week. So check that one out. It is found anywhere you're going to find this podcast. You can find that one, the individual defensive podcast, but that is going to wrap it up for Gary. Thanks, Gary. We will see you again very soon.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Week 10 ranks. We pulled up the Fantasy Pros, and now we're going to pick apart the stuff, even though we're in the, what was your word again? The double digits. Double digits.
The double digits.
Double digits. They kind of clarify themselves a little bit, but let's see what the double digits have us here for. On the quarterback side, Justin Herbert, I think, is your big dog that comes into QB1s at Miami, a B-plus rating above Lamar Jackson this week, Boggs. And I think that was something, that was one of the few that I think you can actually like have a conversation about, because everybody's annoyed, I think, with the production of Lamar Jackson. You could fight yourself on like here or there with this guy do this, that. At the end of the day, you're just not going to sit him unless you have a true viable option. A real world scenario is having Justin Herbert on a Lamar Jackson team. And based on matchups, I mean, not that New England is that much better here, but you know, you got shut down corners that are going to furthermore lock down the passing ability of Lamar Jackson. So I expect a lot of running out of him this week. But Justin Herbert going up against a decent Miami offense, but you expect some points to be thrown.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be that one could easily turn into a shootout. You don't see Baltimore, New England turning into a shootout at all, especially with Cam banged up. You know, I think that should be a walk by Baltimore, and there should be a lot of running in the second half, not by Lamar Jackson. So in that scenario, I would definitely play Herbert.
There's some guys that are sitting out on the outskirts. Again, you know, we don't put too much focus on the QB1s that are in there. They're all the names you expect. Once you get to 11, things, you know, change up a little bit. Jared Goff hasn't particularly been amazing, but he's got Seattle, which I think Seattle is right now projecting to like break a record all time of passing yards, going to give up. I think it's in like the 5,000s or something like that. And that's why you would put Jared Goff in there. So I think that one makes sense. But
5,000 yards. That's like, honestly, that's like playing against Aaron Rodgers every single week.
I think they said the record coming into this year was like 4,800 a team has given up receiving yards all season long. And then maybe it was the Falcons that are at like 49. They're projected to do 4,900, but then the Seahawks are like 5,600. Like, they are going to blow past this record.
It's the worst secondary I've seen. And they added Jamal Adams in this offseason. He's been hurt for a little bit, but he came back and played last week. And because they have no pass rush at all, which is why they traded for Carl Lawson, Jamal Adams is their best pass rusher. He had a sack and a half last week against Buffalo. Like, it's ridiculous that a starting safety would be your best
Earl
pass
Thomas
rusher.
Thomas is just out there running a train with his brother, and he's just high-fiving like, hey, look how bad this secondary is. They're just so bad without me.
Yeah, get rid of me. I may not be the best teammate, but I was a pretty good player. So, yeah.
And brother's like, you're a great teammate, Earl. And he's like, thanks, bro. Yeah. Psh.
Tag
let's get
team
back to this.
Back again.
Check it out, record. All right. Tua Tagovailoa. They've got a 15 versus the Clippers, the Los Angeles Chargers. What I think is interesting about him, I'm starting to move into, especially after that Arizona game. It was very exciting. I think the Chargers defense is a much tougher matchup than Arizona. But you got some dicey ones above him right now. You've got Roethlisberger, who's got Cincinnati and questionable. You've got Baker Mayfield, a little questionable. And you got Tannehill in Indianapolis.
Maker
Bayfield. Would you play Tua over any or all of the three I just said?
You said give
Roethlisberger, Tannehill, Mayfield.
I wouldn't play him over Roethlisberger if Roethlisberger plays. Cincinnati's defense, although improving, is still not great. But the other two, I could easily start him over.
I think I would as well. I think I would be able to be comfortable putting him above those. Joe Burrow has got Pittsburgh. He's been a fun matchup to kind of throw in. Not this week. Matthew Stafford way down here at 21. Because of what reason?
Well, remember, he had a brain injury, the Welsh, if you're remembering correctly. So,
so the rankers are just not in there.
He has to pass brain protocol to get in there. But, yeah, I mean, he's also been terrible this year, Stafford. And I expected him to be good. That is one I completely whiffed on this season. He has not been good. And this is him being one spot ahead of Bridgewater against the Bucks and Jake Luton against the Packers shows you how little trust that he has.
But what about you? And you don't have the trust? I don't care about the range. Okay.
No, not for Stafford.
So is there anybody in this range that you're kind of into? I mean, Derek Carr was up at 16 versus Denver. You got Luton.
Yeah, that's who I talked about with Gary. What was Carr? Also, Locke, although Locke has been doing his a lot of his production, and I read in a PFF article, 40 of his 49 points over the last 2 weeks have come in the fourth quarter. So it's dicey to start him, but he has been thriving in garbage time. So, the wide receivers have been good with him too. Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler in particular. Noah Fant seems like he's going to be okay as well. So I don't think Locke is the worst start. But if I had to choose between him and Carr, I'd easily go Carr.
Over to the running backs on PPR, 13 running backs are given an A rating. You've got both Browns running backs qualifying as RB1s this coming week. Miles Sanders returns to a number 9 spot. James Conner, regardless of the bad performance, is up at 8. This one will probably change. They've got Chase Edmonds at 6 versus Buffalo. We've talked about how poorish, besides this last game, Buffalo has been against the run. But if Kenyon Drake, this is why I was saying, best case scenario is Drake doesn't play, because then you can have full run of Chase Edmonds.
Up against Buffalo is great.
But up at 6, what changes for you? I guess here'd be the key thing, because we don't have to argue about RB1, RB2. Chase Edmonds is still a must start whether Drake plays or not against Buffalo this week.
Yeah, he's at least a flex at the very least. So, yeah, I do love Chase Edmonds this week. I mean, I'm surprised that Montgomery is just so expected to play. They have him at 15, which is a little surprising. But Chubb is an RB1 coming off the injury. Is a little dicey, but that matchup is too good, and they have Hunt and Chubb as both as RB1. Same deal for them, as we just said about Chase Edmonds and Kenyon Drake. You can play both those guys. Yeah. So it's just weird to see, you know, some better scenarios of, you know, two running backs on one team just because they're playing against an inferior defense versus, like, you know, Fournette against Carolina.
Yeah,
or,
but there's no guarantees. I don't think that's even in question. I think it's
how about Henderson versus Seattle? Like, Henderson's been getting all the runs still.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, it's still not in question about those other two. I just think Daryl Henderson is a start. Before we get there, Mike Davis is the final of the A ratings versus Tampa Bay, ranked 13th. That's where you should understand the value of him. I agree for the most part. I think he's somewhere between like a mid RB2. He kind of faltered a little bit before McCaffrey came back. They stopped kind of using him as they were heavy in the passing game. And the offense has kind of evolved a little bit later into the season. So I wonder if you don't want to get too big for your britches for Mike Davis this coming week, but he's a startable asset. And you mentioned one that I think is really interesting. It's Leonard Fournette at 16 versus Carolina. Like, that's the level that they have on him. Ronald Jones isn't even an RB2. That's where people's mindsets have moved with the snap counts going where they are, that Leonard Fournette is a no-brain start moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's a no-brain start, but he's definitely better than, you know, we expected him. But we've seen this be a roller coaster this year. So I like that he's ranked this high. I'm just not as confident in it. I think if the Bucks, you know, the Bucks should come out pissed off because they just got embarrassed on national TV by the Saints. First time Tom Brady's been swept by a division opponent in his 20 years as a quarterback. So very surprising result there. So they're going to come out firing on all cylinders. I would just be worried about them getting up big in this game against Carolina and then giving the rock to Ronald Jones a bunch in the second half to get him back on track. So I think that is a game script that is in the realm of possibility. So he's a little bit more dicey to me than this, but these starts are rough moving past like Mike Davis and DeAndre Swift. The starts are rough.
You know,
everybody has a huge question.
I do agree with that. The question marks get way, way bigger after you get into like the 15th running back. I mean, there's some that, you know, the pros hasn't even updated on. David Johnson is at RB2, where Duke Johnson is down at 29. I think if David Johnson is out, Duke jumps into an RB2 category. And yep, he's somewhere between, because here are some interesting names. You've got Jonathan Taylor, who's still at 21, dicey. McKissick comes in at 23 versus Detroit, since, you know, what I was talking about.
PPR.
Which, by the way, that is two Washington running backs inside the RB2 range.
That's what I'm saying, man. All these double running backs over some guys that will start. You know?
And then you got Jerick McKinnon at 24. I think Duke Johnson falls into that range right there. Zach Moss, they've got at 22. I think he's in that range of Moss, McKissick, McKinnon, Duke jumps into.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
So
J.K. Dobbins up at 25. Philip Lindsay at 27. Wayne Gallman at 28. Pick one.
Gallman,
Lindsay, or Dobbins?
I would have to go Lindsay in that scenario, and I'm not the biggest Lindsay fan either, but Mark Ingram has a shot to play, and if he does, that just turns it right back into a hot mess.
And he returned to practice. There's some video out there of him returning to practice, looking like he was back into form, at least, you know, normal Mark Ingram. I think he came out with Lamar Jackson. So looks like he's going to go out there, which is going to take a little bit away from Dobbins, most likely.
And it was who was the other one?
Gallman, Lindsay, or Dobbins?
Oh, Gallman. Yeah, I like Gallman too, but Freeman might come back. So that's a possibility. If Freeman doesn't come back, I would go Gallman fairly easy.
The end of RB2 is just so bad. It Devin Singletary, James White, Naheem Hines, Jordan Wilkins. It's such trash in
it's
here.
Not good.
Joe Mixon is down here because they don't know what's going on. I think he was meeting with a rehab specialist, so I don't know what do you know what the status on Mixon is for this week? He was limited Wednesday's practice coming off of the bye. So if he were to not play, It still doesn't change a ton because it's Pittsburgh's defense, but Giovanni Bernard goes from where they have ranked 37. I think you would put him up. I think you put him past Dobbins. I think he'd be a low-end RB2.
Yeah, and he's not the most likely to break off that big play against the Steelers. I think Boyd or Higgins would probably be the guy to do that, but the Steelers do give up big plays. So I would rather, much rather have him than Dobbins or Edwards or any of the Ravens backs, sure.
The couple backs that are outside of even the flex range of starting a running back that I think jump in are Rex Burkhead, if there's no Damian Harris, who's got Baltimore. It's not a great matchup, but Burkhead, he's the perfect type of guy for that. And unfortunately, Ballage, like I talked about, he's ranked 44th up against Miami. And I think if there's no Justin Jackson, would you rather start Ballage or Gus Edwards?
Oh, Ballage.
Yeah, so, Gus Edwards is 35. Here's a great one. Ballage or James White? It's Ballage.
Yeah, Ballage.
Yeah, so he's a flex start this week. So, you loosely say the must start because you might have some better options. But he's one of those guys, I think, that jumps up into that territory. I think someone that could be sneaky, and I'm very dicey about saying it because I've been wrong, is Jamichael Hasty. I wonder if the 49ers kind of go back to that well a little bit. Unfortunately, they'll probably be from behind, so that's why you don't want to toy around with it too much. But that is, I don't know, that's someone I wonder if the 49ers would turn to a little bit early.
I actually don't hate your boy Chris Thompson this week. Really? I think it's... Yeah, I just think that they're gonna be down a decent amount, and he's out snapping Robinson on thirds by a decent amount. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get 6-7 catches in this game. And you're getting in PPR, you're getting six, a point per catch. So he could be decent this week too, as kind of a sneaky play.
I don't see any other really sneaky ones. I mean, Ryan Nall Boggs, Ryan Nall has still been out there. You think anything changes? Where would you go, Nall or Patterson, if there was no Montgomery?
Well, I would go with Nall.
Or Lamar Miller. They signed Lamar Miller, Boggs.
Nah, no, I'm not doing that. It would be Ryan Nall. I mean, look, Cordell Patterson is nothing, but that's the problem is if Montgomery doesn't play, you need to have Nall because that's a Monday night game. You don't have anyone else to play. It's not like it's an afternoon game or an early game where you can flip him out and put somebody else in. You either have to start someone over him on Sunday or you have to have Nall and Montgomery on your team to be able to safely start Montgomery because he's going to – unless they – being a concussion, it is a little easier. He doesn't have to go out and warm up anything. So hopefully they'll announce something on Sunday, but they might still be saying Sunday. Yeah, I don't know. He's got to pass protocol tomorrow or whatever. So yeah, you got to follow proto, bro.
Now follow proto, bro. Nall. We need to make a stop. Baby, stop. All right. Over to wide receiver on PPR. Everything is as expected on the wide receiver one territory. Someone tweeted us an interesting trade and I didn't see you respond on it, but I don't think everything is caught up. It's a dynasty thing, but it just had me thinking where they said, hey, trade DK Metcalf and Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get Michael Thomas in dynasty. And I was like, if you get the DK Metcalf and Clyde Edwards-Helaire side, that's the good one. Not the other one. It's not remotely close either.
No, it's not close at all. I mean, I know that CH has been disappointing to a lot of people.
Yeah,
and
but long term, when Bell is gone.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to be great there. He really is. And
that was our argument in Dynasty stuff. Like, I'm cool.
Metcalf might be better than Michael Thomas right now.
But that was my big push on that trade. I was like, listen, dude, I'm not sure I would trade DK Metcalf to get Michael Thomas right now. I'm not sure that alone in Dynasty would make me do it. And the rest of this season, I'd rather have DK Metcalf than Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the season, I'd rather have DK also because Michael Thomas has been so banged up. I mean, look, Michael Thomas is going to put up a game where we go, he's back.
Guess what? He's got the 49ers this week. Very likely it's this week. Very, very likely he has 11 catches for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that could definitely be it. So, I mean, he's going to have one of those games where we go, now I remember why we all love Michael Thomas and he was the first wide receiver off the board, that kind of stuff. But DK Metcalf has just been on a different level this year. So he is definitely a wide receiver one moving forward in his career.
So the when we get to the interesting wide receivers that are in question, all three Steelers wide receivers are ranked as wide receiver twos. And I feel like we're in a little bit of a spot where people don't know which side to take. And I think that's always dangerous. Chase Claypool comes in at number one. And see, what's funny about that is I felt the same, even if Mason Rudolph was out there, I felt like Claypool would be the guy I trust most. He's at 18, Juju at 21, and Deontay at 22. How would you rank them this week under Rudolph and then under Roethlisberger?
Oh, God, under Rudolph, they're all in the 40s. So,
well, but I'm saying them between each other. Like, how would
you?
No,
I understand.
And I think you're being ridiculous. I think, yeah. But like, how would you rank Claypool?
No, Mason Rudolph is terrible. I'm not being ridiculous. You watched him last year. He's
awful. Okay. But Rudolph,
he might be better than he was last year, but he didn't look better in the couple plays that he had. So
with Rudolph, how would you rank those three?
With Rudolph, I would go Juju 1, Deontay 2, Claypool 3. And it's because Rudolph has the most, he has the most experience with Juju.
Okay, so under Ben.
Under Ben, I would go Claypool 1, Juju 2, Deontay 3.
Okay, so you go. So it sounds like the ranks are kind of representative with that.
And look, Deontay is still going to be, the one here, I think. But he's just not, I don't think he's all the way healthy yet. He's still missing practices. He's dragging around this toe injury right now. So that it's a little worse than we initially thought. So I think that is why Deontay would be third, because if Deontay was 100%, he would still be my one with Ben, because Ben loves throwing him the ball.
With Luton in, I think everyone still loves Chark, which I agree with. He's up at 17 versus Green Bay this week. I'm down with this. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about Mike Evans, dude. And Mike Evans at 23, below him, Jerry Jeudy and Travis Fulgham.
Yeah, look, Rasul Douglas is back, and he's going to cover Evans, and he was pretty good the first time they played. So, or historically, I can't remember which one, but Evans just doesn't look right. You know, we talked about it with Gary. Evans just does not look right at all this year. So,
yeah. So Fulgham and Jeudy is where I was going with that.
Yeah.
DJ Moore is one that jumps out to me. Ugh. Now, DJ Moore seemed to do okay when McCaffrey was out, though he does have a propensity to disappear. Tampa Bay this week. Do you trust DJ Moore?
I trust DJ Moore more than I do last week. He's definitely a wide receiver three at best, though. I don't think he should be this high at 26 or whatever. I would put Boyd over him. I put Parker and Kirk over him. I would put Shepard over him. There's a lot of guys here that I would play over Moore. But I think Tampa Bay gets up quick and Carolina has thrown the ball a bunch. So I think he'll see a decent amount of targets this week and be fairly valuable.
Which Cincinnati wide receiver do you like, Tyler Boyd or T. Higgins this week? Both are ranked in the wide receiver three.
I think I just still trust Boyd a little more. So it would have to be him, but they're going to be so close. I wouldn't be surprised if Higgins outperformed him. So that's razor thin, but I'll lean towards Boyd.
This is a small thing, but like I see Marquise Brown ranked here at 36, and I look and I go, no way. I mean, you got Gilmore in there. They can't pass. I would rather go.
Well, Gilmore missed this week. He might miss again, so we'll see. But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Jacoby Myers is at 38. I'd play over him. Curtis Samuel is at 40. I would play over him.
Same.
And this one down here, this is a really interesting fade, I suppose. But Brandon Ayuk is down at 45. And you saw what the stupid 49ers did when Richie James took the Ayuk role. They talked before the game, and I and Brandon was actually on Twitter making comments about like crying emojis when they announced that the scheduled plan was for Ayuk to have around 85% of the offensive run for the wide receivers. Ooh. And he was like, oh man, Richie James got that. Well, Ayuk is going to be back, so I don't get this. I think he's a wide receiver three this week.
Yeah, I mean, he should be higher than a lot of guys on this list. I mean, AB, Marquise Brown, Jarvis Landry. I'm going to start Ayuk over all those guys. So, and you know, Corey Davis disappeared last week. I don't really like these rankings, to be honest with
now,
you.
No, I see Darnell Mooney down here at 44, and I'm like,
he needs to come up a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, he's teeter. I would start him over Marquise Brown.
Yeah, yeah, I would too. I think Sanders should be ahead of Cobb and Beasley and a bunch of these guys as well. So, these rankings are kind of wonky, I feel like, this week.
Some of the other guys I like that are a little bit further down, you're talking like post-50s.
It's actually a lot to like down here.
There is. I like Danny Amendola versus Washington, who they rank at 50. I can dig Jalen Reagor, who's got the Giants at 52. I told you I like Higgins, who's at 54 versus Houston. And KJ Hamler, Raiders at 57. Those are four wide receivers that, you know, I would be very comfortable sliding into the lineup this week.
Yeah. And for, tonight, as you're listening to this, Pittman versus the Titans should be a nice one as well. He had a decent amount of snaps. I'm trying to pull it up here. Yeah. 59 snaps. So Marcus Johnson was the only guy with more snaps than him in week 9. So, surprising to see. I mean, that's such a brutal injury that Pittman had, and to see him come back like it was, a fractured leg, and then he had compartment syndrome where the blood builds up too, but he's back playing and playing a ton of snaps. So it's really impressive to see him back this quick, and Tennessee secondary is rough, so he could be a decent one as well.
Over on the tight ends, I cannot believe that Hunter Henry is still in the top 10 as far as rank. It's just, he's number 7 this week. I'm glad to see that people are coming off of Mark Andrews. I'm not sure we're in a spot anybody has the ability to like sit him, but I do still think, I look at Jimmy Graham down here at 15, and I still think he's just underranked. He's under Gesicki, who's been eh. You know, I mean, I just, there's multiple guys. I mean, Ebron has had some games.
Okay, so give me on a per game basis, give me the let's go top 5 tight ends this year. Do you know who they are?
Okay, so on a per game, you're gonna have Kittle.
Yep, he's 2.
You're gonna have Kelsey.
He's 1.
You're gonna have Waller.
3.
Okay, so I got the top
4 and 5 for the tough ones.
You know, I think 4 or 5 might be Tonyan.
Tonyan is 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just all the touchdowns. Is Jimmy Graham in the top 5?
No, Jimmy Graham is 11. Hockenson is 4.
Okay.
Fant
is
5. And
Fant
Hunter
is 5?
Henry...
Hockenson Fant... I buy. And Hockenson, by the way, is ranked 2 this week versus Washington. But I didn't realize Fant was at 3 or 5.
Yeah, yeah. Fant has been good. He's been solid when he's out there. He's missed a couple games, but he's been solid. Now, Mark Andrews is at 8 only because of his touchdowns. Hayden Hurst is actually clocking in at 9 now. He's putting together a couple good weeks in a row. But Jimmy Graham is a tight end 1, and Jared Cook is a tight end 1 right now. Hunter Henry is at 15.
Yeah.
A point to make on tight ends for this week is Vance McDonald, COVID is out. McDonald and Ebron are the only 2 tight ends to play for the Steelers the whole year. So Ebron might get 100% of
the snaps. I like Ebron in it. I also dig your boy Logan Thomas versus Detroit this week. I like Jimmy Graham. Those are guys that are outside of tight end 1 that I think you can really justifiably push up a little bit.
How about between Jordan Reed and Ross Dwelly for you? Because it looked early it was Dwelly. They went to Reed a little bit later. Let me get you the snap count on those guys. It was 42 for Dwelly to only 13 for Reed.
They just did. I don't know. I mean, because here's the deal. Because when Jordan Reed is a part of the passing game, it's clearly him. It's not a question. I think they might have brought him back when he wasn't good enough. Like he wasn't healthy enough because they didn't run plays. They didn't. They like to get him the ball. You know, they like to get their tight end the ball, especially when you don't have any other offensive weapons out there. You would think that they would. I have to assume he wasn't fully healthy. I can't start Jordan Reed until they make that push. But once they start getting back to the tight end, which could be this week against New Orleans, especially if they're down, they're going to have to be slinging the ball. I could see him. He's like a 7 or 8 catch type of guy, and he'll be a tight end 1 once they get him back involved. I just don't know if he wasn't healthy.
How about Higbee or Everett versus Seattle? I mean, Seattle giving up, like you said, on pace to give up 78,000 passing yards. So who are you going between Higbee and Everett?
I mean,
because Higbee, Everett's been better than Higbee recently.
Yeah, I mean, I would go Higbee, but I don't like the situation. I don't like the Niners situation. I don't like the Rams situation. That's why I would try to be involved. I think there's some others that, you know, have the payoff if they happen to be out there. You know, I think the Jimmy Graham one seems to always be floating around, and that's somebody I would pop in there. And I just wouldn't be playing Hunter Henry. I think it's a big key.
Gotcha.
Losers, losers. No, no, he's probably a nice guy. He probably used to be really good. Just needs Phillip Rivers. Trade him. All right, friendos, that is the episode. Thank you to Gary Davenport. We appreciate him for joining us on the episode today. Thank you to you for tuning in and all the action as we are getting ready for week 10. Come over to Patreon if you guys want to hang with us, you want to support us, you want to get lots of the stuff. Check out all the extra content. Like I said, Mandalorian, the uncensored comedy secret shows. Some of the stuff we do, like the Gary interview, is available only to some of our Patreons in video format. So we got tons and tons of stuff, and we're a long-standing Patreon, so you can trust it. We've been doing it for like 3 years. So come and check us out, patreon.com/ITL Army. Anytime is the best time to come and do that. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast anywhere that pods are, and you'll see the brand new artwork. I actually thought I changed the artwork, and I was like, what is this changing? And then I realized I didn't change it in the right spot. And then all of a sudden it popped up, and everyone's like, ooh, look at the artwork, and that's all changed now. So you'll see the brand new artwork on any podcast platform that you check out. If you want a little bit more of ITL, come and check out the radio show this weekend over on Sports Grid. And Sports Grid's, they're doing some big stuff here that I don't know if everybody knows about, but the ITL show is going to be on some other pretty big platforms here soon, at least the radio show that we do. So come and check that out. Subscribe on Sports Grid. We're on the radio, and we're going to be on some other big places very shortly. So come and listen as we do all our gambling picks, DFS. We had a double down lunch bet that we'll be talking about on the next episode, Bogman.
Right.
So come and come and take a listen on the radio. For Bogman, I am Welsh. It's In This League. We out. Peace.
Sawyer.